Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said this, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined in the studio today by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we want to talk today about living the Christian life in an anti-Christian world. Chris, I preached a sermon series years ago, and it was on the book of Daniel, and I called it Living the Christian Life in a Non-Christian World. But we don't really live in a non-Christian world anymore. We live in an anti-Christian world. There is an anti-supernatural bias against the Christian faith in America that didn't exist 25, 30 years ago, but it exists today. And so the question is, how do we live the Christian life in that kind of a hostile environment?
Yeah, we're living in a world where there's great pressure to conform to what the world says is right, what the world says is the right things to do, what to say, you know, how to talk, how to live, things to believe. And if you don't believe those things, then you are deemed a hater. You know, if you don't conform to the way that they want you to act and speak, then you are someone who's hateful.
You're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a misogynist, you're a homophobic, transphobic, any kind of phobic they can throw out there. You're just a terrible, horrible person, and we need to cancel you.
Right,
We didn't have that cancel culture a couple of decades ago like we have today.
Yeah, so toxic. I'd say it's a very toxic society where, freedom of speech is being challenged.
Well, the good news is, as we think about living the Christian life in this anti-Christian world, the light shines the brightest in the darkest environment, in the darkest background. You know, if you have a really high-powered flashlight and you shine it at 12 noon, you don't really see it because the sun is going to outshine that. But if you shine it at 12 midnight, it's very, very important. And so we can get discouraged at times when we read the news. And just as you heard with the last segment right before the program about election integrity, as we get ready to vote, I've already voted. Chris, you've already voted. But November 8th is the day to vote. And, if there's not election integrity, well, what's the use? What's the point? And so we can look at a lot of things in life and say, it's just stacked against me. It's not. What's the use in trying to live for Jesus when everything is coming against me? How would you answer that?
Yeah, we got to be very careful not to become discouraged. We have to be very careful not to just stick our head in the sand and believe that there's nothing that we could do to make a difference. And Jesus tells us to be salt of the earth. Jesus tells us to be a light in the world. I think you've used the illustration before. I've heard other people use the illustration of we could either be a thermostat or a thermometer. Mm-hmm. A thermometer just says the temperature. Mm-hmm. And that's easy to do that. It's easy to point out all that's wrong in the world. It's easy just to say, everything that's going wrong. A thermostat actually makes a difference. And a thermostat actually penetrates society and isn't just watching passively for things to happen, but actually sets the agenda. And I feel like that's what we are called to do as Christians. That's what Jesus tells us to do. He can relate to us and all that we're going through. And he's telling us to be strong in this world that we're in. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Right. And we can have impact. Just as salt has impact, salt has impact on food. We know when we're eating something, this needs more salt. If there's a ton of salt in something, it's like, I can't eat that. It's too salty. Salt makes a difference. And, salt is used to clean wounds. Salt is used to season food. Salt is used to preserve fish, for instance. They pack it in salt. And the other thing about salt is salt burns in a wound. And when we are salt to a lost and dying world and we speak the truth in love, that burns. And people, you know, they hate the truth. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And when they feel the sting of the salt, they say, we don't like this, and we're wanting to shut you up. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, lots of people, when they think about the world that we live in today, and you have to live in reality. This is the world we live in today. It's a cancel culture world. It's a world that is embracing CRT. Racism is stronger than ever before. The idea that we're judged not on the color of our skin, but the content of our character. That's Martin Luther's dream. That's out the window. Everything now is the color of somebody's skin, and nothing is the content of one's character. But we have Christians today that say, well, I don't want to have children because I don't want to bring my children up in this environment. What would you say about
that? Yeah, I hear that a lot. I hear either that statement or I see that idea being played out, especially when I see like older people in the church. And then you have like younger families who, you know, Rochelle and I minister a lot to younger families, marriage classes and parenting classes, and they've got young children already in this world. And so we, you talked on Sunday about that we are here on this earth, just like Esther, for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. You know, God is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He's in control, and he has put us in this place at this time. And our children are to be like little arrows to be shot out
right
into this world to make a difference, to make an impact. Now, that does put extra pressure on us as parents in the way that we are raising our children, probably maybe even different than previous generations. But of course, there's fear. Of course, we feel, you know, fear about the world that our children are going into or right are already in this world. But we have to believe that God has a plan and he has a purpose for our children, and they are going to make a difference in this world.
Right. And so if you see life as the Christian life is being in the Lord's army, be a good soldier in the Lord's army, you know that when you go into battle, you're not in friendly territory. I mean, you're on a battleground, and people are shooting at you, and they're wanting to kill you and take you out, and we're in a cosmic battle, and the devil hates God, and he hates God's people. And as I've said before, you know, the devil can't do anything directly to hurt God, but if he hurts God's people and God's children, he hurts God indirectly. And so I think as parents, we have to train our kids, hey, you are in a battle, and this world is not friendly to the Savior that we love and the one we worship and adore and serve. And so just know going in, hey, it's not going to be easy. And the Lord never said it would be easy. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, Chris, we have Paul's admonition, don't be conformed, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed. How do you see those two things, and how does a person practically go about not being conformed, but being transformed?
Yeah, that's one of our favorite verses in counseling, because that's what we call cognitive behavioral therapy, is Romans 12:2. It means that you change your thoughts, you change your mind, what you're thinking about. And so you actually grab that thought that is leaning towards the world, that's leaning towards sin, and conform it to truth, what God's word actually says, what God's truth actually is. And when you do that, when you catch that thought and you transform it to what is holy and pure and right, like Philippians 4:8, then you begin to know what God's will is, and you begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to walk in joy and peace and all those things that God's Spirit offers us.
Well, and the Word of God is so critical to transform your mind, because that tells us the truth. We're bombarded with lies that are pushing us into this mold. That's why when you go on social media, especially Twitter, that's kind of, you know, thoughts from the left and the right. The left are all saying the same thing. I mean, it's just news organizations, mainstream media, they all say the same thing. And it's just being conformed to this world. The Bible, Ephesians 2, talks about the prince of the power of the air. You can just tell this is spiritually, people are deceived and deceiving. And so how do we as Christians stand up against that? You have to just bathe your mind in the truth. What did Jesus say in John 17, Chris, in his great high priestly prayer?
Yeah, that we are called to be in this world. We're obviously in this world. That's where we are, but not to be of this world. Talking about this world that we're in, and there's an agenda. There's a liberal agenda that is pushing against us, an anti-Christian agenda. And so we have to be critical thinkers. You know, we have to know that there's an agenda. So we have to ask ourselves important questions. You know, does this make sense? Does this make sense according to God's word? Does this line up to God's word? What is the agenda here? Like, what is being pushed? Mm-hmm. And so we need to be live in reality. Jesus didn't take us out of this world, but he left us in this world. And so we've got to be critical thinkers. Thinking of 1 Thessalonians 5, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. So the Bible is telling us to use our minds. Don't just accept what is being said or what is being taught because there's false teachers. There's weak churches. There's churches that aren't speaking truth. And so we have, or just avoiding truth. Right. Not maybe even speaking lies, but just avoiding the critical issues that are going on. And so we are called to use our mind and to live in reality of the way things are and what the agenda is on the other side.
Well, it's amazing to me, talking to different ones, you know, just as we are getting ready to vote, for those who haven't voted yet, and as we said, November 8th is the official voting day. But for a Christian to be bewildered on how to vote, it's just mind-boggling. Just abortion alone. You just can't vote for a candidate that is pro-abortion, pro the murder of the unborn. That is just so basic. As the interview said at the top of the hour, you know, Carrie Lake, well, your views are so radical. Well, tell me what is radical. You know, secure borders, is that right? Radical? Protecting babies in the womb, is that radical? Not right. Wanting to murder the unborn by dismemberment? I mean, how is that radical? Protecting religious freedom? That's how our country was founded. So how are those things radical? We need to judge everything with righteous judgment. Jesus said, judge, don't judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. And Chris, as you were saying, lots of guys that stand behind pulpits are not telling the truth. Now, they may be purposely lying, or they just might be deceived themselves. They might be, you know, Jesus said in John 16, he said, there's coming a day when people will kill you thinking they're serving God. You are really twisted into a pretzel if you're killing people thinking you're serving God. But, you know, that's the world in which we live. I know from the denomination you came from, which was in its foundings a solid denomination held to the Word of God in the Nazarene Church. What's it like today?
Well, I mean, just that drift, just that steady, steady drift away from God's Word, away from the sufficiency of Scripture, and into, you know, just personal truth and judging things based on experience and your own perspective instead of looking at God's word. If you think of progressive means just continuing to move and move and move and move further and further, where God's truth doesn't move. God's word doesn't move. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when there's a drift away, or, you know, just keeps going and going and going further away from the truth.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, who is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Texarkana and also the counselor here. And God has used him and his wife, Rochelle, in great ways at First Baptist Texarkana. He's been here 5 years. Is it 5 years to the day? Or
5 years in January.
5 years in January. How wonderful is that? Came from Kansas City and got to Texas as fast as he could. That's the old joke. But we're going to be taking your calls in this next segment. And the number to call is 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about this subject, how to live the Christian life in an anti-Christian world, because God has us on this earth for such a time as this so that we can shine and share. Don't go away.
director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
What is really responsible for your Christian walk, your Christian growth? Is it just sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to zap you? How many have had been zapped? No. And we wonder, why isn't this working? Well, we're looking for the wrong thing.
Don't miss Dr. David Jeremiah's message, A Life Beyond Amazing, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Crime is rising. Our borders in crisis. Inflation is rampant. And we've endured a pandemic. How will voters respond? Stick with American Family Radio for midterm 22 election coverage. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Walker will provide analysis from a Christian perspective. Will the country accelerate on a secular progressive path, or will right-minded conservatives regain some control? Listen on election night beginning at 6 p.m. Brought to you by AFA Action.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I'm joined in the studio by my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're talking about this subject, how to live the Christian life in an anti-Christian world. Now, Chris, we were talking at the break about listeners, just folks that work, maybe they work for a small business, or maybe they work in corporate America. I've been hearing more and more from people saying, I don't like working in corporate America because they're getting this agenda, this liberal agenda, crammed down their throats. One guy in particular, his company just got sold. It was privately owned, and now it's owned by a big corporation. And I said, how's it going? And he just like, ugh.
Yeah.
He hates it. So how does a person like that stand up for truth?
Yeah, I just want to encourage that listener, because you have a huge responsibility. As Pastor Jeff said, as the world gets darker, you have an opportunity to shine light. And remember that you are a minister. God has called you to serve, to be a minister in that area. So Pastor Jeff and I are pastors, so we are ministers vocationally in the church, and so we deal mostly with Christians, non-Christians too, but mostly Christians, mostly people that are already saved. But you have an opportunity to witness more than we even have, and so you have a great privilege to evangelize, to witness. And so I just want to encourage you, You can't be like, you know, remember the bubble boy where you just put
right.
a bubble around you and just pretend like it's not, nothing's going on around you, just sticking your head in the sand. Don't be like that, but actually be used by God to make a difference in the world around you.
Well, and you have to show respect for your employer. I remember early in my Christian life, I was talking to my Sunday school teacher when I first got out of college, and it was like, well, I'm a Christian at work, and what does that look like? And he said, well, they're not paying you to read your Bible. Mm-hmm. They're not paying you to pray and to witness. They're paying you to do your job. Now, there are opportunities to do that, and I think at work, the shine part is huge. The share part, you have to be...
Pick your spots.
Right, and really led by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, if you're just constantly witnessing to the person next to you at the cubicle, that's probably not going to fly very well. And they may call you in and say, hey, you can't do that, or, you know, we're going to have to terminate you. You don't want to go there, but you want to shine for Christ so that people ask you, hey, what's different about you? And you let it be known. I remember when I had a job, summer job at Shell, I was told, hey, immediately when you go there, don't wait. Let them know that you've given your life to Christ. Now, that doesn't have to be a sermon.
Right.
That can just be like, hey, you know, this was a life-changing experience for me. I gave my life to Christ, and he's changed me. I'm a believer in Jesus. You can say that in 15 seconds.
Right.
But then when they see that you say you're a follower of Christ, they're going to watch you.
Right.
Because we talked about all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. To persecute means to pursue. Mm. And so they'll watch to see, are you genuine? Are you for real? So it's a great opportunity to shine for Christ. And as you shine, there are going to be some questions. What makes you tick? How are you different from me? Chris, what would you say to the person that says, hey, they're wanting me to celebrate Gay Pride Month. They're wanting me to wear a ribbon that says I'm, you know, for that LGBTQ. How would you handle that if you were working at Corporation X?
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, that means you're having to live by conviction, not just like we talked about conformity, not just conforming, but living by conviction. So there's going to be things that you're going to have to, especially as the days get darker and darker, there's going to be things that you're going to have to stand up for that may cost you something.
Right.
That may require sacrifice. And so, you know, I'm not saying that's easy at all. There's going to be some really hard challenges. You know, anyone great in history had conviction,
right,
and they were willing to stand up for their beliefs. And so definitely we can't cave in no matter what the cost is. We can't cave in. I'm thinking of the word integrity, mm-hmm, you know, when you're talking about in the workforce, in the secular world, to live with integrity, to be the same everywhere you are. And then also to, just to pick your spots to shine light. But really, you're being a good steward of that job that God has given you. So you're working hard. You're not, you know, cheating the job.
Right.
You're working with integrity. You're someone that's reliable. You're someone that can be counted on. You're a person who a person of action that backs up your words.
Right.
And so I think those things are a great way to shine in a secular world. And remember that God sees you. He's your number one boss. He's watching you, and you work to an audience of one.
Right. And the Lord will bless you for that. You know, you think about Daniel in Babylon. Well, you talk about an anti-Christian world. That's an anti-Christian world there. They worship false gods, and Nebuchadnezzar builds his image. Hey, you're going to bow down and do all this. Very few had the courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Daniel wouldn't have bowed either. He must have been away on business when they had that business for the king. But those three guys, of all the Jews, and there were thousands of Jews that Nebuchadnezzar had taken back as exiles in 605 BC, and then in 597 BC took another group. But just three guys said, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
And it cost them. And it's going to cost, you know, that's the thing. If we think in terms of being a good soldier, hey, it is going to cost us if we stand up for Jesus. And we shouldn't be surprised if it costs us friends, if it costs us perhaps our job, if it costs us our freedom, if it costs us even our very lives, mm-hmm, as other believers around the world are being killed for their faith, imprisoned for their faith. And so we need to have that mindset. And I think, Chris, you know, you have little girls. My girls are all grown. But to instill that in our children, that this world is not a friend of Christians, but the Lord has, you know, put us on the earth for such a time as this, and we need to stand up and be faithful.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I want them to have a great life. I want them to be happy. I want them to be comfortable in this world. But most of all, you know, I want them to shine for the Lord. I want them to be strong. We want them to be warriors, right, you know, for the Lord. And they're going to need to be in the right world that they're in.
Well, we're going to the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have our friend Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, welcome to the program. Alan, are you there? Oh, he was there.
Poor Alan. What happened?
All right. Well, Alan, we have to get you back. So, Chris, when we read stories, true accounts, you know, we say the word story, but what's in the Bible is a true account. And so Daniel's story is a true account. I think sometimes we can fail to realize how hard it was to do what he did and what his three friends did.
Mm-hmm.
When you stand up to the king and you say, I'm not going to bow before your image, mm-hmm, when you say, I'm not going to eat your choice food, you're putting your neck on the line, because that guy can kill you just like that.
Right.
And with no recourse. He's the king.
Right.
And so if he says, hey, execute, he was going to execute, remember in chapter 2 of Daniel, execute all the wise men of Babylon.
Right.
Because they couldn't interpret his dream.
Nothing for him to do that.
No. And it's just like, we'll kill you, we'll kill your families, we'll wipe you out, and we're not going to skip a beat.
Right.
How hard, if you put yourself in their shoes, how hard would it have been to say, I'm not bowing to your image?
Well, I mean, I think about that all the time. You know, when our faith is tested, it's one thing to talk a big game. It's one thing to say what we would do and, you know, live out our faith when things are good, when things are in our favor. But when you are tested, when things are going against you, as it is starting to become more and more for Christians, that's where our faith is really put to the test, where the fire comes. And, you know, in that story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember the fourth figure in the fire.
Right.
So the Lord is with you. The Lord never abandons you. He's never forsaken you. He is right there with you. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he will help you. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is power. So the Holy Spirit gives you everything that you need to overcome the dark world.
Right. And you remember Jesus said, hey, when they come against you and you are thinking what to say, don't worry about it. I'll give you the words to say. And I think about Peter when he was called before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 3. God gave him the words to say. Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. And he preached a sermon that was just fire.
Right.
Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord.
The transformation of Peter is always one of my favorite aspects. Just from where he started, Jesus calls him, changes his name to Peter, the rock,
right,
then doesn't call him that again, but then reinstates him and he's Peter, the rock. And then in Acts, he's this powerhouse for the Lord. And it's like, wow, look what happened.
Right.
You know, and we can all relate to someone like Peter who has failure in his life.
Right.
But ultimately has a heart for the Lord.
Yeah. Definitely not perfect.
Right.
But he was moving in the right direction, and God used him in great ways. Well, we have Mary on the line from Ohio. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I don't want to cause any controversy in my church. I go to a Methodist church, but my pastor will not talk about things going on in the world today. You know, how should we as Christians live? Who should we vote for? What to look for in the people that are running for an office? She continually talks about let's love each other. Let's just mundane stuff that. I used to work at a pregnancy center.
Yes. Okay?
So I'm very much pro-life. And this lady won't even, I gave her literature that I received from candidates that I believe in, that I trust. And she will not talk about anything, have faith, love each other. But I don't want to raise my hand and bring that up in the middle of her sermon or anything. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's very difficult. And, God's wanting to use you, obviously, Mary, to be salt and light there. I think you always have to be respectful, especially with an employer. But there can come a time where it's just like, hey, I have to respectfully disagree. Or you go to her privately and say, listen, that doesn't reflect my values at all. And, I think about like at your church. So your pastor's job, Ephesians 4, it says, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. It is so such a tremendous need for pastors to speak the truth in love and to preach the whole counsel of God and not to back off of that because they don't want to offend. Truth is offensive. And so we're not being faithful to our call to preach the word and reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mary, that you're going through that because, a church is very important to you. A church is like a family, and so it's very important.
Right.
I know what it's like to be in a church like that, and I had to eventually make a decision myself to leave a church because of that kind of teaching. And I hope you do have an opportunity one-on-one to speak to this pastor and tell the person what you are feeling. But, as Pastor Jeff said from Ephesians 4, the pastor's job is to prepare you, to equip you, to resource you, to be in the battle that you're in the world. And that's what you're getting from church, is you're going to church to be prepared for the battle. You go on Sunday to be prepared for the rest of the week and the battle that you're in. And that has to be happening. And so at some point, you'll have to make a decision when you will have that opportunity to talk one-on-one, see how the pastor responds, and then make a decision about what you're going to do as far as where you worship.
Yeah, those are difficult, Mary. I understand that. How long have you been in that church?
2 years.
Oh, okay.
I was in the Catholic Church before that. I grew up in the Catholic Church, but again, same thing. No controversy anywhere. I mean, let's not speak the truth about what's going on.
Right.
I left that church. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to go visit, another church just to see if they're speaking about what's going on in life today.
Yes. What city are you in Ohio?
I'm in Leipzig, Ohio.
Okay. Well, I would imagine, I'm not familiar with that area, but I would look at some solid churches. What that church believes and what they preach is huge. And so you don't want to be at a place where it's just everything is milquetoast and, we're not going to touch on anything. Because we live in a world today where the enemy is coming and we're called to be watchmen on the wall and we have to sound the alarm. Because if we don't, the enemy comes over the wall and we're dead. And so that's what the Lord's called us to be faithful. So thank you, Mary. I appreciate you calling in today. And God bless you. And may God lead you and give you wisdom. Well, we have Alan back from North Carolina. Alan, are you there?
I apologize, but...
Uh-oh, we're coming up on the break, Alan. And so sorry about that. I heard the music. So we'll if you can hold, we'll get you right after the break. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are talking about how to live the Christian life in an anti-Christian world, how to prepare your children for the world in which we live today, because it's a world that's not unchristian, it's really anti-Christian. And if you stand up for the truth, the world is going to shoot at you and people are not going to like it. People will call you names, hater, misogynist, homophobe, transphobe, all these different names. But we are called to be faithful to the Lord and stand true. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Paul writes, when one part of the body suffers, we suffer together. This is Bible League International, and the persecuted church around the world is paying a heavy price simply for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Warlocks burned down the home and shanty church that Emilio pastors in Chiapas, Mexico, near the border of Guatemala. And these male witches, they surrounded the homes of church members so they couldn't leave for 2 weeks. All of this because Christians oppose their pagan worship, but they lovingly share the gospel with those who persecute them. Listen, hundreds have come to Christ, and when I ask these heroes of the faith, how can we pray for you? They never say pray for an end to our suffering because they know God's working through it. What they pray for is that new believers will be able to endure and persevere under tremendous hardship, and you can do that when you can open your own Bible and be reminded of God's precious promises. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net, and learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Chris Schroeder. We're talking about how to live the Christian life in an anti-Christian world, how to shine and share in a perverse generation. And we have gone to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about this. And so call in and we'll visit about this. And Chris, as we were talking about, talking at the break, parents have a hard job, and it's not like it was when I was raising my kids, and you send them off to public school. Depending on where you live, sending your kids to public school could be the worst thing you could do for them. Mm-hmm. That's a big challenge because some people are like, well, I can't homeschool. I don't have the ability to do that. I have to work or whatever. What would you say to that parent?
Yeah, I'm so thankful that we live in a community where we have amazing schools, and I don't worry as much about our schools and the teaching that's taking place. We know the superintendent goes to our church and all that, but I know that if you're in an area and you're concerned and you may start hearing things, you're going to have to be more active. You're going to have to be more proactive in your children's lives than ever before. Like, you know, mm-hmm. my parents weren't having to ask me everything that I was being taught each day, but now parents are going to have to. So just going to have to lean in more and listen to what's being have your child tell you what's being taught and interact with their teachers and their administrators more than ever before.
And then when it comes to church, as we were sharing, what you're being taught in church is huge. What your kids are being taught in the children's ministry, the student ministry, that is huge. And, so if you go to a church and you've been there a long time and that church has changed in its theology, as Chris, as you were talking about, getting more progressive and further, drifting further and further left, at a point you have to say, hey, we're not grounded in the truth anymore. And either we change or I have to leave because I can't subject my family to this. But now if you just joined a church a year or two and find out what they believe, and God really hasn't called you there to change that church.
No, I think that can almost be like a Messiah complex. That can almost be more about it could be selfishness, thinking that you could come in, prideful, that you can come in and you can change the way a church has been for a long time and the way that a church is already established. But on the other end of that, if you do change churches and you go to a church that really is preaching truth and really preaching God's word, it'll be so refreshing to you. Mm-hmm. You will love it so much and you will grow so much. And so there is another side to this. There is a real refreshing aspect to this, that you could start hearing God's truth proclaimed from a pulpit and from Sunday school classes and all that, and you could grow like never before, and you'd be excited about God's word and what he says. And you could sit under teaching where they are actually talking about social issues, things going on in the world, mm-hmm. and what God's truth says about those issues.
Right. So we're called as pastors, 2 Timothy 4, to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. So three things: reprove, rebuke, exhort. Two of the three are negative. Mm-hmm. You're going to get reproved, you're going to get rebuked, but then you're going to get encouraged. So we all have a tendency to drift from true north, and true north is a walk with the Lord in the light. We have a tendency to drift. We need to be called, hey, this is the walk that the scripture calls us to live, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. And so we have to respond to that. And it's a good thing to come to church and get your toes stepped on.
Yeah, I mean, your philosophy, what you have shared, is from the pulpit to speak hard truth. Mm-hmm. But then one-on-one is more the hope, the grace, the more gentle when you have the person one-on-one. And so because when you're in that large setting and you're preaching from the pulpit, there are people that have not heard truth or don't have opportunities throughout the week to hear truth. And so here's the opportunity for God's word to be clearly proclaimed, the truth of God's word to be proclaimed. And so it's going to be strong. It's going to be maybe even hard to take, but it's truth. And then one-on-one, there can be that's where those relationships develop, and that prayer for each other and right. encouraging one another and building hope into one another.
So it's kind of like this. If a doctor's going to talk to a big group about cancer, he's just going to tell you facts about cancer. This is the evils of cancer. This is how it ravages you. This is how it destroys you. This is how it eats you from the inside out, that kind of thing. If he's talking to a cancer patient one-on-one,
right.
and he has to deliver the news you have cancer, he's going to be a lot different.
More sensitive.
Because it's pointed at an individual. It's not just talking about a subject. And so the way I look at preaching, we talk about subjects, mm-hmm. and we're not talking to a specific individual. That's a one-on-one. That's in the counseling room. That's mm-hmm. in the decision room. And so those things, truth and love. Love and truth. Truth and love is a sermon. Love and truth is a one-on-one.
And Jesus was so able to walk that line of grace and truth, that balance of grace and truth.
Right.
That's what we are called to do.
Right. Well, we have Alan on the line, I think, maybe. Alan, are you there?
Yes, I am, and actually I called in about one thing, but really I could have been a third party into this whole conversation. And I originally called in to offer y'all a tool, and Dr. Schroeder, it would you know, definitely be one that you could use and consider, and the others. But let me speak to Mary first in Ohio. And Dr. Schroeder, you mentioned you came from the Nazarene. That comes out of the Methodist churches, you know, the Wesleyan right. tradition. And, of course, you know, we know that John Wesley was a man of one book. But, right. Mary, what I would offer to you is I'm with Concerned Methodist. I'm retired from the Army, a full-time volunteer with them, and called to contend for the faith. But we publish several different things, books, a monthly update, but the Christian Methodist newsletter goes out to over 17,000 people nationwide. And after North Carolina, we send more copies. You know, we send more copies to here in North Carolina, and the second state that we send more copies to after that is Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so if you can contact us, basically draw you into the information network, because your pastor a lot of times is, we call him a company man, or, you know, if it's a woman, company woman. And the first loyalty is to the hierarchy. They keep their people in the dark and don't inform them, you know, of the truth. But we see ourselves as being a resource. We go after truth, and we inform as many Methodists, to include mostly lay people, but to include some evangelical pastors, about what is happening in the Methodist church. And we see and I would offer this idea to you is, and I really got a kind of a clear word from the Lord that this is kind of what he wanted me to do, because I became a Christian late in life, but I feel called to be a Christian missionary in the United Methodist Church. And it definitely is not always easy, but it is very rewarding in that you know that you're doing the Lord's will. Amen. And so, if I can just offer can I offer our website, and then I want to give you another tool. But our website is the letter C, the letter M, just like Concerned Methodists, but cmpage.org. But that's our organization.
Yeah.
And Dr. Schroeder, if I could offer y'all a tool.
Mama Bear Apologetics. Yes, we're very familiar with that, and Chris and Rochelle use that in their ministry. That's a great resource. Alan, we appreciate you. I appreciate your work, and I appreciate you standing true in a difficult situation in the Methodist Church, and I appreciate you being salt and light there and standing up for the truth. And God bless you, my brother. We have a couple of more calls to get to, so I don't mean to cut you off, but need to get these in before they end. We do have Jim and Sir See Arkansas on the line. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I'm retired. I'm old. But I believe in the Lord with all my heart. I do subbing. And when they open the door, what I mean by that, when they get to talking about how the earth was formed and all that, two rocks bumping together form this earth. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And they tell me I can't do that. But God and Christ tell me I've got to do that. So it's up to me to take a stand, and I stand with Jesus.
Amen. Well, I appreciate your boldness, Jim. And, when push comes to shove, we need to stand up for Jesus. And we need to not be ashamed of him, you know. I think we need to be careful. It's like that guy told me on my first job. Listen, they're not hiring you to be their pastor. They're hiring you to be their salesman. And so you look for opportunities where the Lord will open a door. But if you just come in, you know, it's just going to be preaching, preaching, preaching. You're probably going to lose your job because that's not what they hired you for. And Christians need to be just stellar employees. That's how we serve the Lord. Yeah. You know, it's the Lord Christ whom we serve, Colossians chapter 3. And when we do a poor job, it's a poor reflection on That's Jesus. Right. And so we need to be the best secretary that we can possibly be, the best salesman we can possibly be, the best accountant, administrator, teacher, coach, whatever it is. And those positions, Chris, as you know, coaches and teachers can have a lot of influence on children.
Huge impact. Yeah, and coach, you know, I think of the coaches in my life that just spoke truth into my life, teachers in my life, and each one of us can think back of those teachers. Such an influence. Just remember who you're representing. You're not just representing yourself as a Christian. You are a little Christ, you know, representing the Lord.
Right. And Daniel is a great example, because Daniel conducted his business for the government, as well as being a prophet, as well as having a deep walk with the Lord. He was a guy that shined for Christ, so to speak, you know, shined for the Lord, and he shared when the opportunity arose and when he was able to do that. But everybody knew where Daniel stood. That's how Daniel 6, how can we get at this guy? Well, we can't get anything on him unless it pertains to his God.
His religion, yeah.
Right. His faith. Well, we have Ron from Michigan on the line. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. And I just wanted to share that we indeed have the truth. There's only one truth. That's God's truth. And we have that on our side. And the day in which we live, I think of Paul writing to Timothy, where he said, preach the word, whether it's in season or out of season, preach the word. But then sometimes what's difficult too is that he said, do it with gentleness and patience. But what I also hold on to is that in Romans 1, I think it's about verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his power and divine nature have been clearly seen. In other words, I think people do have the truth. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to come to terms with it, but they do have the truth. It's been implanted in their hearts, and I think that's even followed up Romans 2, about verse 14, I think. The Gentiles who don't have the law do instinctively the things of the law. In other words, I think people do have the truth. We can take comfort in that, I believe. So that when we're telling the truth, it's what they already know. It's they don't want to look at it a lot of times. So with that, I'll just stop and have enjoyed the broadcast.
Hey, thank you, Ron. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it says in Romans 1:21, even though they knew God, now knew him and knew about him. It's not talking about a personal relationship with God, but even though they knew God, because God put the knowledge of him in their hearts, the Lord has set, Ecclesiastes 3:11, eternity in man's hearts. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So what does God do when you reject him? He gives you over. And three times in Romans 1, it says he gave them over to the lust of the flesh, gave them over to homosexual perversion, gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we live in a society that has been given over. We have lots of people in government and in leadership that have reprobate minds. People in the Biden administration, men pretending to be women, dressing up in dresses, and hey, I'm not Richard Levine, I'm Rachel Levine. No, you're not. You're XY chromosome, you're a male, and you're pretending to be female, and you have a mind that no longer works. Well, you've been listening today, Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's such a privilege and a joy to be able to share with you every morning, every weekday morning, from 8 to 9. And so thank you for joining us today. Dr. Chris, thank you for being my guest today. Living the Christian life in an anti-Christian world. Can it be done? Yes, because the Lord has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He will give us strength to shine for Christ and to share what great things he has done for us and how he had mercy on us. And he will use us as we're bold in him. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.